broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, May 23, 2025. The year is ripping right along, Crystalyn. We're already in the fifth month of the year. What?
That's crazy.
It just gets faster and faster. The older I get, the faster the roulette wheel goes around.
Which apparently is like a real phenomena, like a studied phenomena, that the older you get, the faster time feels like it flies.
Because you have more stuff going on in your life? Or what would be the reason for that? It does feel anecdotally true, but
I think because our days are a bit more jam-packed. So the older you get, the more stuff during the day you're doing. And then you have more experience to compare it to. I didn't read the whole study, but there was definitely some study done, I think, Europe about it.
Oh, well, Europe. Okay, well. All right. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. In addition to today's other topics, which we'll roll through in just a minute, it's a very exciting show because we have in studio with us right now the new executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside, Mark Newton. Mark, good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We locked Mark out of the building this morning. Now, it's a very complicated security system, and we've got lots of security personnel. But unfortunately, the interns did not fully convey to security Mark's presence here this morning. So sorry about that,
Mark. I did not have the right credentials.
Okay. So. Well, next time, in future appearances on the show, we will see that real rolled up red carpet right there. That's supposed to be for our guests. The interns will be doing some extra yard work around my house this weekend to pay for that. Okay, so we've got Mark. We'll hear all about his plans for Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. Also, let's get to meet Mark a little bit, too. He's not new to the Coastside. He's a Coastside resident, but new to Boys and Girls Club, and it's very exciting. So we've got that exclusive interview with Mark. And then other topics today, hold on to your hats. Iconic Coastside goats, Coke, Cox, and Jacobson. Yes, just roll that over your tongue.
Was that real words?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. They may have been originally. As I read them, they became not. No. And then we've got restaurant madness. You know, which you... I didn't do that very well, but that was kind of for you because you like moto events and monster truck stuff. And so, you know, like monster truck madness. The commercial where it has the echoing, you know, like it's madness. All right. So that's for Crystalyn, but it's about restaurants here on the Coastside. All right. Let's get right to the air quality report. While we cue that up on our fancy digital equipment here, if you want to call in, if you want to ask Mark Newton a question, if you want to talk about restaurants on the Coastside, if you want to talk about iconic Coastside goats, Cox and Jacobson, and other Coastside tidbits, go ahead and give us a call, 650-560-9851. There we go. Just in case people are punching it into their phone right there, it's like if I go 650-560-9851, that's what happens sometimes when I'm listening on, you know, the various, when I'm trying to get into Larry King. Like, they're like, all right, if you want to call in. And they rip the number off real fast. Like, I'm still trying to do the area code right now.
That's
okay.
Very considerate.
And that's what we do here, right? That's the Coastside mentality, Mark. Exactly. 650-560-9851. Air quality report. Here we go. 0 to 50. Incredible. 51 to 100. Pretty good. Over 100, we don't worry about here on the Coastside. Today in El Granada, 23. Half Moon Bay, also 23. Redwood City, 13. Santa Cruz, 11. And down in Morgan Hill, 11 today in Morgan Hill. Why Morgan Hill? Coastsiders, that's the riddle. You got to figure it out. Why Morgan Hill? Well, we'll see if anybody can figure that out. All right, let's get into it. Iconic Coastside goats, Cox and Jacobson. Okay, so we gave the... There's all these things going on the Coastside all the time. These little tidbit things, stories that like don't really... aren't really a full segment, but we want to talk about them. So we've tasked the interns with just... because of SEO, right, which is metadata on websites and web pages on the internet, but it's kind of the underlying when you do a search, that it's the meta terms that come up in the search that flag the search engines. So you got to throw that stuff out there. So we can't just have a segment called like Coastside Tidbits. So we got to throw in kind of all of these words for the meta. So that's why you. So we've given the interns like, take all these words that are in the segment and come up with some kind of title that is interesting. So that's what they came up for this. So let's get right into it. Starting with you, Crystalyn. What's this event going on at Hometown Mercantile with shopping with baby goats? I've heard of goat yoga. I don't understand it, but I've heard of goat yoga. But shopping with goats? That seems messy.
No, they're so cute and adorable. Marika, who is the owner of Hometown Mercantile, has partnered with D. Harley Farms. And so Harley Farms is going to bring up, I think, 3 to 4 little newly baby kid goats. Aww. And they just hang out in the store, and you can cuddle them and hang out with them while you shop.
From all of the Popeye cartoons I've watched, goats eat everything. So you're going to have it in a store with, like, canvas bags. And Hometown Mercantile, I don't know. I've been in there a few times. I think Jupiter in Maine is more like this, where they have, as part of the decoration, they have, like, stuff sitting on straw and whatever. Like, it just seems like the goats are going to, goats poop.
I highly doubt these baby goats are even going to be touching the ground all that often with how much they are going to be held and cuddled.
I did see the picture on the chamber site, and adorable. Yeah. I mean, goats are pretty awesome. I love goats.
Yes. The only way this could get better is if they were put in pajamas, because goats in pajamas will change your life if you ever Google that. It is the cutest thing in the whole wide world.
Where does this happen? What?
Seriously. YouTube. I know.
No, YouTube. I believe there's a YouTube video with goats in pajamas, but is this a thing or is it just a YouTube
video?
You can see
baby cows in pajamas, goats in pajamas, little onesies.
Oh, my God.
They're so cute.
Mark, is this something that we're going to be doing at the Boys and Girls Club? Like, we got the Easter egg roll and then goats in pajamas day?
I cannot confirm nor deny that we will have either of those things. I will say that my wife is a huge fan of goats. We took a trip up the Oregon coast and stayed at like an Airbnb on a goat farm with baby goats. I think her head exploded. So it was kind of next level cuteness.
It is. And so that sounds like a really fun event. That's at Hometown Mercantile tomorrow.
Yes.
From 12 to 4 at 416 Main Street, Hometown Mercantile. One of my go-to stores around the holidays, along with Jupiter in Maine and Paper Crane and other stores on Main Street.
Yes.
Because I shop local, as people know. So it'll be goat cheese and olive oil tasting. Okay, goat cheese. All right. My notes here was on the next line. So it said, enjoy goat tasting. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Frank. No, they're too cute to eat.
We, in July, the last Saturday of July, we do the farm fish and flowers tours. And it's one of the things that I love, that Harley Farms always participate. Sometimes they really go above and beyond and even do two rounds of tours. But it's really nice to be able to tell people, like, no, you're going to go see goats. And you know these goats are living their best life, because all that, like, Harley Farms is all about the goat cheese and goat milk and, you know, things that are not detrimental to the life of the goat.
I think that's one of the things I love about goats, is when you look at a goat, it just inherently looks like it's living its best life. it either doesn't care, it looks like it doesn't care what's going on, just sitting there chewing or looking at you, or it's just being adorably cute and, like, you know, shipping scampering around. And yeah. to be a goat. Plus, you can eat anything like that. We'll get to the restaurant thing. Like, I wish I could be like a goat and eat anything. Okay. Mark, Crystalline, I'm just saying, I'm sick of the word iconic, okay? I'm throwing it down the gauntlet. Stop people, society, culture with the word iconic. Completely overused to the point of pap. Not everything is iconic or superstar or legendary. I'm just going to throw those two in there as well. Like, come on. Also, since we're getting down into the definition of stuff, iconic is not applicable to a person. A person is not iconic. An image of a person is eligible to be iconic, but a person is not iconic. Here's some examples of iconography. Michael Jackson's sequin glove. That's iconic. Right? Okay. Mark's nodding. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about. I'm wondering what spurred this conversation.
Okay, hold on. The Chrysler Building is iconic. The Michael Jordan Jumpman silhouette is iconic. Sgt. Pepper's album cover is iconic. Some stupid snap Dua Lipa took of her dog at Lake Havasu is not iconic. Am I right?
First of all, I have not seen the snap, so can't judge.
I don't even know who this person is. This is the interns. Like, is that a person? Is that a thing? Is that a group?
Yeah,
you don't know who Dua Lipa is?
Dua Lipa is an entertainer, a singer.
Does she take snaps of her dog, and are those iconic snaps?
Apparently, maybe it's a very, very cool picture.
Okay, this is exactly my point. It can be a cool picture that doesn't make it iconic. The things that I listed are iconic things.
She could be making a statement about the dearth of water in the American West, and her dog is thirsty, and so later it's going to turn into an iconic image.
It could be a statement. So, like, Michael Jackson's glove,
yes.
Was that, like, he probably originally put it on because he thought it was cool. And then he just wore it a bunch of times, and then it became a staple of his outfit for a long time. But so who's to say that this picture doesn't become iconic?
Me. It's not. There are a few photographs that are iconic that you can think of in positive and negative ways. Any picture that this person, Dua Lipa, has taken of her dog at Lake Havasu is not iconic in any way. Even with Mark's attempting to equate, anything that happens at Lake Havasu is not significant. Okay, let's just go there. All right.
As the Lake Havasu people come with their pitchforks for
you.
I
know, right?
Oh, we just lost that audience.
Well, we're big in Lake Havasu, so actually we do have a connection to the river country there on the western border of Arizona. Radio legend Jay Michaels has an estate out there, so
that's cool.
He's familiar with that crew out there. Okay.
I think you're saying it needs like a decades of time to be historically significant for it to be iconic.
And something significant, something that resonates,
right.
And that is symbolic and meaning something. So, nice segue there, Mark. Anything here on the coast side that we would call iconic? Oh, here's some. While you ponder that, because here you go, Mark. Do you have a nomination for that? Think about this. Here's some ideas that the interns came up with as iconography of the coastside. Johnston House. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Agree.
Pigeon Point Lighthouse, maybe.
Agree.
The World War II bunker at Devil's Slide that everybody climbs on that has all the graffiti on. When you are at Montara State Beach and you're looking north up Devil's Slide and there's that World War II bunker. The old Cunha General Store building, that's maybe before your time, but it's been replaced. This one that's here on Kelly in Maine is new, post-2004, I think, when it burned down. So the old one. The old jail, which is now the mm-hmm. Half Moon Bay Historicals. That's Barb's Fish Trap. Mm-hmm. That's kind of iconic. Or the Pillar Point Golf Ball Radar Dishes, which, to me, this is like a borderline one. It's very symbolic of the coast. It's very recognizable. Does it rise to the level of iconic? Coastside on Bikes and other organizations use it as their logo, as their symbol. So I'm saying, like, it's definitely in the conversation. Do either of you have any other nominations for coastside icons?
No, that pretty much covered it.
Okay.
Frank.
Right. random rim shot.
That was pretty awesome.
Okay.
I guess. I have a question for you. All the things you listed are man-made or were man-made.
Yeah, that's true.
Do they, in order in your definition of iconic, do they need to be man-made?
No, we actually had it in the sub-list here. One of the things was the Martin's Beach stack, mm-hmm. that kind of pillar that's offshore off Martin's Beach. So that would be an example of a natural.
So, feature. Yeah, I mean, certainly Mavericks.
Right, okay. Is there an image, though?
The the rocks before the break. I mean, they're always
the
there.
Out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But if you saw the...
Or the bluffs overlooking Mavericks.
Yeah, maybe. When I think of these other things, it's because they're like... There's usually an angle or a shot or they're still or right. But Mavericks, it's like... Is there a image of wave? I mean, there's a couple... There's not a single photograph of Maverick where it's like, oh my God, this is the Mavericks photograph. Even the one where the guy set the record, because they're all incredible, but they all kind of look the same of like it's a huge wave. And so like Mavericks feels like an icon of the coast side, but more in a verbal sense of like when you say Mavericks, everybody has a vision and knows what you're talking about. But in my mind, like, there's not a single photograph that's like, or an angle, maybe an angle, but not a single photograph that's like, this is Mavericks. That's my Truckosaurus voice.
There.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Truckosaurus. Okay. Well, Frank
did not give you a little symbol on
he's
that.
He's already, he's waving me on to the next thing. Test pattern. Okay. Thanks, Frank. Don't encourage him. Don't encourage
him. All the encouragement. All of it.
No.
All
not.
Of it.
Okay. By the way, Tom Cox, a.k.a. Mr. Cox, and Jill Jacobson are in the latest edition of Coastside Magazine. It's the May Celebrating Women annual issue. Mr. Cox is retiring this year after 30 years. So go grab that and get a new leaf or other places around town.
Including the Visitor Center, 637 Main Street.
Nice. Exactly. Mr. Cox is retiring this year after 30 years at Cunha. He's teaching the grandchildren of some of his original students. Please note, this has not been actually verified, but 30 years. I mean, you'd figure, like, if you did the math, there's probably some grandchild of an original student that he's teaching now. Because one thing I love about Mr. Cox and Cunha is, I'll be coaching a player and their parent will say, oh, I had Mr. Cox, when I went to Cunha, which I love. That's one of the things I love about this community is there's people that have grown up here and know all these teachers and people. Mr. Cox is always a student favorite, incredible coach with many championships and numerous sports. He leads the Washington, D.C. trip each year for Cunha 8th graders, as my son did with Mr. Cox a couple years ago. Mr. Cox has been doing that for 30 years, so he literally knows every detail of like where to go, where the parking spot is, where the best coffee is, when to be places. I think he's going to continue on in kind of an advisory role for the Cunha with these Washington, D.C. trips.
I hope so. I hope somebody shadowed him this last year.
Right. Well, even if they did, it's this first year after Mr. Cox on the Washington, D.C. trip could be a little nerve-wracking for people because, again, when you have somebody that has that level of experience. There's going to be a big party for Mr. Cox at the OPL. On Sunday, June 8th, a retirement party from 4 to 8 p.m. It's open to the public. RSVP today. Go to the OPL website, and there's a QR code, which is why I haven't done it. Sunday, June 8th, retirement party for Mr. Cox at the Old Princeton Landing. Okay. Also on the Coastside Magazine, Jill Jacobson, outgoing executive director of the Boys and Girls, was on the cover with a great photo. That's just a great photo.
That is.
I mean, just really captures everything that everybody loves about Jill and the interview in the magazine is also good. Yeah, I'm holding it up. Thank you, Frank. I'm holding it up to the microphone. Can everybody see this? Okay, great. See, this is why I said don't encourage him, Mark. Now the rest of the show is just Foley sounds. Mark, did you realize when you took this gig that you were following a rock star?
Well, you took, I mean, I had multiple superlatives that I was going to use for Jill Jacobson this morning, and you took like five of them away. You said, I can't use, you know, an icon because she's right. She's not. She's a person, I mean, not an artifact. But she is a superstar. And the beauty is I've had this month of May to get to work with Jill, which has been incredible. You don't get those opportunities in life very much to work with your predecessor that you really enjoy and has done an amazing job. So that's been remarkable.
Well, I know the excitement at Boys and Girls Club, and I think starting to build on the Coast side, is that Jill is an outgoing superstar, but somehow we were able to match that with the new incoming superstar. And we'll get to all your bona fides in the back half of the show, but I think people are pretty excited that if there was any way possible to stay at the level that Jill has brought the Boys and Girls Club of the Coast side to, we found that person. And so that's very exciting. All right, we'll find out all of your intimate and detailed plans for Boys and Girls Club in a few minutes, and he's massively furiously scribbling notes right now. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize we were going to ask him these questions. Okay, Sam Liccardo, friend of the show, who is our U.S. representative for District 16 here on the Coast side, elected in November. He's having a presser on the Pacifica Boardwalk in 35 minutes, so get in the car, keep Coastal Windage on your radio as you drive to Pacifica. He's doing this at the boardwalk to call on the current administration to restore infrastructure funding to address coastal erosion and climate disaster. Pacifica had been counting on federal BRIC funding, which is Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities, to help shore up its collapsing coastline. But in April, along with many other things, the administration canceled a $15 million grant the city was pursuing. So Representative Liccardo, Pacifica Mayor Sue Beckmeyer, and San Mateo County Supervisor Ray Mueller will be there to talk about this. Following the press conference, members of the media are invited to walk down the Pacifica Boardwalk with the speakers to see evidence of coastal erosion and the urgent need for federal funding. Good luck on that in all aspects. I don't think the money's coming back. Also, I personally have moved beyond coastal erosion. It's what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Stop building stuff right on the water. That's what you should stop doing. As far as anything else, you're going to build a seawall like from Cabo San Lucas to Point Barrow? I don't think so. So what can you do? Speaking of Pacifica, Pacific Coast TV, which is kind of like, you remember that Wayne's World, the movie Wayne's World, they were on the cable access.
Whoa. Unexpected.
One of Frank's favorite movies, apparently. Wow, Frank. Okay. Do you remember that? Have you seen that movie, Frank? Yes.
Five times. Holy
five
cow.
Minutes. What?
Oh my God. I just learned a lot about Frank.
I've learned something about Frank every show. Not all of it good. Okay. Well, so Wayne's World was on like a cable access channel, which would be like... In the old days, before cable, it would be on like UHF. Like, so there was the regular dials, channels 2 through 13. Then there was that other weird dial on your TV that was like, went up to like 99... Went from like 15 to 99. What even was that? But that's where all the like weird, you know, Bob Ross shows would be on, where like you're...
First of all, Bob Ross, not weird. Treasure.
Okay, sure. Those types of shows where it's like somebody showing you how to paint or whatever would be on that small dial. Then when cable came, it was like deep in the cable access, you know, like public access where it'd have shows like this, you know, where somebody would be doing a show. Well, now we've got Pacific Coast TV because we've gone to the internet and the digital age. That's Pacific Coast TV is a local TV network on the internet that broadcasts all of the public meetings and things like that.
But they're also on cable 24/7.
Are they on cable?
Yes.
Not on my cable.
Comcast.
I have satellite.
Oh, Comcast. No, 27, I think.
27? Okay. So it's not on Dish Network. Can't find it on Dish Network. But anyways, Pacific Coast TV, really an important community asset. They are having an open house tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. at 580 Crespi Drive, which is their studio. An open house to come in and see their operation, which is quite interesting. If you've ever been to a public meeting here on the coast side, you've seen their camera person there. They come and they set it all up. You can then watch these videos of these meetings at your leisure.
Live on cable.
Or live, yes. So go and check that out. KHB station general manager Jim Anderson has taped a segment about having a community media organization, something he knows a lot about. It's pretty important. Yes, channels 26 and 27 are the two channels they're on cable, apparently not on satellite. So go check out Pacific Coast TV's open house. What do we got? 1 minute, Frank? What do we got here? 2 minutes. Okay. Paws in the Park. There's a cool dog event going on in Quarry Park on May 31st. What is May 31st? That is a
Saturday.
That's a Saturday. Okay. From 11 to 2, there's a dog costume contest. That should be per year. What were we talking about costumes?
Well, Crystalline here? Could bring a goat and dress it up.
Crystalline is bringing Cruella de Vil and is the host.
What? You're the host of the...
Or I'm the MC, yeah.
And your whole... What?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're MCing this event?
Yeah, oh, so
how
fun.
Fun. Yes, totally.
I'm super stoked on it.
And Cruella de Vil, that's your dog?
No, I'm going to be Cruella de Vil.
Well, that seems a little mean almost. I mean, she wasn't really like PETA approved, right?
But she was into fashion.
Okay, so she's going to be emceeing the costume part of it? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So that sounds fun. the kind of thing, in my opinion, that Quarry Park is made for, it's got the playground, it's got... the pump track, some open fields there. Dogs are allowed off leash in Quarry Park, although not in the playground area. So that should be fun. Perfect place for that.
and it's a fundraiser.
What's it a fundraiser for?
One of the PTOs.
El Granada Elementary.
Thank you, sir.
Perfect. Okay, El Granada Elementary, which is perfect because Quarry Park is in El Granada. Okay, so that makes sense. Friend of the show, past guest, Julie Engelman, muralist, artist, amazing artist. She did the mural on Cunha right here of the kind of the pumpkin festival or pumpkin scene here. She also did, what did she do? Another mural at the like Krusty Crustacean, some restaurant in Pacifica. She did a mural there.
She's done lots. If for anybody who's not Ruben and is on Instagram, follow her Instagram. It is really, really beautiful. She does all kinds of things. She makes even paints beautiful mirrors and different decor. And she's just a real blessing.
We first discovered her with her Fog Fest poster from, I think it was 2022, an amazing piece, which I just saw in a framed in an antique store at Pacifica. Going for like over $200.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing piece. Julie's Engelman is an amazing artist. We don't want to take credit for her success, but we did have her on the show, and now she's an international star. So there you go. I'm just putting two and two together. Okay. All right. Frank is really getting upset right now. So we're going to, when we come back from our commercial break, it's all Mark Newton for the rest of the show. Mark, are you ready? Can we get a daub for Mark? He's looking a little anxious there. The intern's leaning over with that big boom to give you a daub there.
It's great.
Okay. All right.
Ready to go.
We'll be back with Mark after these commercial messages.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back. And, oh, the reason I mentioned Julie Engelman, by the way, this is Ruben and Crystallin with our in-studio guest today, Mark Newton, the new executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. The reason I mentioned Julie is because she's got a new local project that you can go check. It's very cool to see. We had Jane Kim did the project right here. It's cool to see these artists doing these huge projects. Because you see them when they're done, like, how do you even envision that? How do you scope that out? So Julie is working on a new mural at the IDES Hall on Main Street right now as we speak. So you can go check that out and kind of see it grow and develop. And then, I mean, okay, so is Julie's mural on Cunha General Store, is that an iconic Coastside feature?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to say yes. It's new. I mean, that's another thing about iconic. Is, as Mark said, it's got to mature a little bit, right?
I would say, but I say yes because there will people, like, I will hear people say, "I'll meet you at the mural."
Yeah, I feel like from the drop, from the jump, that was iconic, almost in its design, but also its location, Maine and Kelly. I mean, that is the heart of Half Moon Bay. Cunha General Store, even though it's rebuilt, still has that kind of turret type of look. That's,
and then it's an ode to, you know, Pumpkin Fest, yes, which is also iconic for our area.
Yeah.
And then if anybody doesn't know, after about a year or so after the mural was put up, they put up plaques commemorating different parts of the festival, like all the pumpkin winners and things like that.
Right.
So it's also informational and educational.
Yeah. So, okay. So we've agreed. We can, well, all three, that's a three yeses for Julie Engelman's Pumpkin Festival mural as being iconic. Okay. We're going to punt Restaurant Madness to next week, which is fine because I didn't eat breakfast this morning and my stomach is growling, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with restaurants. But we're here to talk to Mark Newton. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me. This has been a blast already. This is fun.
I see you're wearing a periodic table of the elements shirt.
Yeah, I'm a former history teacher, so it's a little bit of a, you know, a ruse. But my father-in-law is connected to the Museum of Natural Science in Houston and a big science guy. And our daughter's already shown a huge love for science. So that's why I got this T-shirt.
I'm not good at math or science.
Shock.
Or really anything else, but we'll just leave it at math and science for right now. Yet somehow, and chemistry was the hardest class I've ever taken in my life, high school chemistry, for whatever reason. Maybe it was because it's a zero period, but for some reason, though, the periodic table of the elements is something that just, I don't know if it's the colors, it's the shape, it's all the little things in there. I love it. I have a poster of it in my garage, and I made one when I was in high school just to make it, and it's just I don't know, it's super, super cool.
It is cool.
So I love that you're wearing that. Since we're speaking of science, I just have to, I'm sorry. I have to. The Half Moon Bay High School had their awards ceremony on Tuesday night where they give out awards to seniors like valedictorian, salutatorian. Very moving presentation. And my son got an award for physics.
Aww.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very proud of him. Physics is a really interesting subject, in my opinion. I really liked it in high school, and so I'm just very proud that he would excel in that subject.
Yeah. That's congratulations. That's neat.
Per award ceremonies, so Mark, you picked a great month to start at Boys and Girls Club. Starting the month, literally day one, Coastside Gives.
Yeah.
So you already got money just rolling in. Is it going to be this easy, your entire tenure, or just money rolling in tens of thousands of dollars on day one, Mark?
I mean, it's been a busy month. There's been event after event after event, and Coastside gives when you get to be on the inside and see it happen. It's so heartwarming because of how many amazing people are on this coast and how much people, you know, people take care of one another. It's incredible.
Well, so the interns did a good job. They got all these note cards here in order of how they want me to ask the questions. Here we go. I'm throwing them up in the air. Okay, so we're just going to skip all around. Per fundraising at Coastside Gives. So they had an ambitious number this year, $2 million, in a time when the economy, you know, seems a little like people are unsure, and they reached that. Question I have for all nonprofits on the Coastside, including Boys and Girls Club, do we have a finite pool of resource opportunities here? Is there some point where we start eating our own tail in the sense of, like, nonprofits here on the Coastside competing with each other? Or do you see, like, it can continue on to continue kind of a Big Bang Theory? We can continue to expand out in towards infinity, or will we bump up against, like, limitations?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've thought about this very thing. I think we are up to 73 nonprofits on the coast right now. The philanthropy and the altruism on the coast is unbelievable. And this, also the sense of volunteerism on the coast is, I'd say, unmatched in any place I've ever lived. And the one thing that I've thought about is, you know, we just had a meeting of nonprofits. The Boys and Girls Club set up a meeting with the school district and brought together a number of nonprofits just this week in the morning. And the one thing that I said to them is, you know, we want to work from a place of abundance with one another. But the thing that was on my mind is just making sure that everyone's really clear about what everyone else is doing and how we can support one another in that. And then also letting the community know all the things that we are doing, so that we don't necessarily need to, you know, add another agency here, another agency there, when in fact that work is already be doing. And so how do we embolden the nonprofits that are already here to do that?
You know, again, jumping around, the fact that Boys and Girls Club organized this meeting with the other nonprofits to have this discussion leads to the next question, which is,
It wasn't necessarily about that. It was just an awareness of what everyone's doing, and then also, you know, awareness of what's happening at the school district and how we can support one another.
Well, even raising that awareness, it's important to raise that because every 73 nonprofits kind of head down working on their own mission statements and their own fundraising. You know, duplication of efforts, of programs, bumping, you know, competing for similar territory and resources. It's good to have this kind of, like, you know, awareness of what's going on. And so one of the questions that we have for you is, beyond providing programming and services, what role do you see, what is the importance of Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside for this community beyond just programming and services?
Yeah, that's a great question. Did your interns come over that question? Or you just
If you like that question, no. That was for
that
me.
If
you're not thrilled with it, it's those people over there.
Frank, this is a great question. And to your previous point, one of the things that nonprofits can do is partner with other nonprofits to apply for grants. So grants, family foundations like it when nonprofits are partnering and they can see their money being used for good that's going to scale and affect the greater good in the best way possible.
And I just want to acknowledge, though, that does happen.
It does happen now. Oh, it does happen now.
So the chamber runs a monthly nonprofit group. Mavericks Community Foundation is also working on similar things. And then the city has a cohort of 9 nonprofits that work all towards common goals. I just want to acknowledge that there's been a lot of change over the last 5 years with the newer executives that were coming in and a real collaborative spirit. So
nice.
It was really nice because I was at the meeting that Mark is talking about, and I would say much more than half of the room already knew each other and stuff. So it was great. It was an awesome meeting to have everybody in the same room at the same time. But it, you do get the sense that, you know, like people know each other and are working together when they can.
Yeah. And to build that awareness there, once when you have a really vibrant giving and philanthropic community like we do, what you'll also have are external agencies trying to, you know, to come and wanting to connect with that. And before, you know, you partner with an external agency, you want to look locally of what we can do here, right? It's almost like buying locally, right? And you look at how can we partner with all the great talent and community spirit and all the great program that we have here, and look to partner with one another as opposed to doing it with, you know, an outside agency. So to your question, I definitely envision the Boys and Girls Club building on, you know, the great work that Jill and the board and the staff have already done to really be a hub for our community. We have a deep connection with the school district in terms of our funding and supporting and managing the fields and different facilities, in running, essentially being the backbone for all of Cunha Middle School sports that we took over a few years ago, and providing that opportunity for the kids. We do a lot of academic support for middle school and high school kids, and even down into elementary now, and doing a lot of work with robotics and STEM that's really building fast. And I have a vision to also build out in the arts as well, and how we can support. But all of it's about what does the community need, what do the kids need, and specifically for us, how can we help the school district who have these amazing teachers, like our daughters at Hatch, and they're great people there. There's great people at Cunha, the high school, and El Granada Elementary and Farallon. So how do we support those teachers and the school district when they have, you know, the restrictions that they have on funding for the district? And then how can we be that support mechanism to make sure that our kids get the best education they possibly can? So we look at the areas that we need to fill. The specific example was Cunha Middle School sports, and now we help support those. And robotics is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think there's also an opportunity to help in the arts as well. So to be one of those hubs, not necessarily the only hub in the community, where we can support the other nonprofits that do similar things, but other nonprofits can come to us and help them, help the kids and the people on the coast.
All right, and we've got, Mark, you've got your first phone call. All right, this is Ruben and Chris.
Oh,
Frank.
Oh.
We've lost
him. See, he was getting too worked up over his Foley box, and he hit the wrong button there. Okay, so call.
You're assuming that Frank is the one who hung up.
I know.
The caller could have hung
no,
up.
No, the callers would never hang up. They would never hang up on me and you, Kristen, let alone on Mark. So, okay. So, Boys and Girls Club providing a hub. What about leadership in terms of, and this is a nebulous question, of where this community needs or wants to go? I mean, it's not fair to ask you that question right now, 3 weeks into the job, but, you know, because I don't know if you went to 10 people on the street, including community leaders, where does this community need to go or where is it going? Like, I guess if we knew that, we'd, you know, cash in and retire if we knew where things were going. But wherever this community is going, one, do you have thoughts on where it could or should go? And two, do you see the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside as an organization that's a leadership group in wherever the future of the Coastside takes it?
Yeah, I do. And I say leadership from the sense of servant leadership, right? It's not leadership in a way where we're going to box other people out or not be inclusive. So leadership that has a full tent, that's inclusive, that's supportive. I do see the Boys and Girls Club as that, because it has a great, you know, name in the community, and it's earned that over a lot of hard work over time. And again, speaking specifically of Boys and Girls Club, we help kids, right? So most of my career has been, you know, inspiring and motivating others to reach their greatest potential, and mostly adolescents. And there's also the elementary age of youth that we are serving. So what I want people to see, the if they don't already, to see the Boys and Girls Club as youth development experts. And that can have a lot of different fields in which that happens. That's the way I see part of my career trajectory, and I see the Boys and Girls Club, and that's why this is such an exciting opportunity. So really as youth development experts. So being a leader on the coast in that realm, and that can mean mental health, it can mean athletics, it can mean arts, it can mean academic support, and STEM, music, etc. And so I see the leadership component for the Boys and Girls Club being exactly that, and really partnering deeply and deepening the relationship with the school district and other nonprofits to be the leader in that, that area per those fields that I just mentioned. And not necessarily the expert in mental health, because there are other people, but we can be a connecting mechanism, right? It's kind of like, I'm a history teacher, so it's that sense of, you know, we used to build out cities off the agora or marketplace. And so cities were built off of hubs, off that center piece, until we moved to the 20th century grid system. Half Moon Bay still has that agora marketplace kind of feel to it, and we want to be that for the Coastside community when it comes to being youth development experts, to be a hub for that.
I didn't realize you were a history teacher, Mark, because two or three weeks ago we had a segment that history is history. Like, it's over. History is irrelevant because Moore's Law has now applied to our society. Things are changing so fast that, like, it doesn't even matter what happened 100 years ago, even 10 years ago, because the cult of technology has got us moving forward and breaking stuff so fast that, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's already... Okay, Frank, can we handle this? We're going to go right to the call.
Okay. I will say I've met Gordon Moore, and he would argue against that point.
Oh, I argued against that, by the way.
Yeah, that's just not reality. So that just...
Two against one.
That just proves that I'm right. Okay.
that he all agrees right. with us, Chrislyn?
No. All right. This is Ruben and Chrislyn and Mark Newton. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
Oh, hey. Good morning. It's Cameron. How are you?
Cameron Palmer. Hey. I mean, hold on, Cameron. We were talking about a person can't be an icon, but Cameron, you're getting pretty close.
But you said an icon can't be a person, but yeah. Somebody could be a goat, the greatest of all time. Yes. Somebody could be legendary.
Oh, my God. Yes. This is why I called in, so keep going.
We're here to pump you up, Cameron.
Okay, wait, no.
I want to welcome Mark. I had the pleasure of meeting him just the other day. Not a happy circumstance. We just had a celebration of life for Don Diaz, the great Half Moon Bay High School football coach who passed away. So I did get to meet him at that event. So anyway, welcome, buddy. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun for you.
I really appreciate it, Cameron. And I love that welcome that you got on the call in. you guys do so much great for the community, and that was really a special event. So thank you for hosting that.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, let me ask you something. I know Ruben, the great athlete that he is, played in a basketball thing that you put on. Do you know if you're going to do the, I forget, it's like the Globetrotters. I forget what it was, but it was
Wizards.
A fundraiser.
Yeah, that's on our radar. My understanding that's an every other year thing. And then there was some, I don't know what happened, you know, necessarily in I think there was a COVID bump where it didn't happen, and then
sure.
But it's on my radar, and I'm excited for us to do it again.
It was the Cameron, we didn't have it this year. It was scheduled to be this year. The fires in Southern California.
Oh, that's right.
The Wizards on their tour, their West Coast tour. We were the only Northern California stop. All the rest were in Southern California, and so they had to cancel the tour because all of the venues that they were going to play at were affected by the Southern California fires.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it is a great event, and count me in. Give me a buzz when it gets close.
All right. And we're going to put a jersey on you. You're playing in the next time. We're going
to
get you on the court.
Do we get to play in that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cameron,
The pros play the semi-pros, I guess.
So it's you, me, Ruben, and Crystal, and we just need... Frank, can you play?
Oh, you should see Frank in a pair of shorts.
Okay. Yeah, well, we got a team. We're ready to go.
Okay. All right. Hey, keep up the good work, everyone. Take care.
Thank you, Cameron.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So once again, I say something, and then literally before the show is over... Somebody points out that I'm already wrong. Okay. Speaking of football, okay, so again, we're just jumping around. Football player, Mark, you.
Not so much anymore, but yeah.
Well, I would hope not.
I want to bring flag football.
That's a big proponent of flag football. So we help support the flag football program at Cunha Middle School. But I'm, a huge proponent. I know there's talk of starting one at the high school, which I'd love to help with. And we could even start it in the earlier grades. It's
a
great thing
to do. If
there's
a way to get adults involved, because I bought all the stuff. Like, I'm ready. I have enough for two
teams. Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Do you want to play yourself?
I want to play.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get it going. We'll talk.
So, Mark, listeners of the show will know that I dabble as a futurist, and in 2017, I predicted that the NFL in 25 years would be a flag football league because injuries and athletes' desire to extend their careers and penalties and stuff are just making kind of like NBA basketball with all the foul calls, almost unwatchable with all the penalties and everything and the injuries. You can't root for a player in football because they're not even going to play a whole season. They're going to be hurt at some point. They're going to miss some games. So the money that's involved in here, it's obvious where football is, to me, where it's headed. I made this prediction before it was an Olympic sport, before there was a NFL-sponsored professional flag football league, and before the Pro Bowl, the NFL's All-Star game, was a flag football game. And now, most recently, an article came out saying that the NFL is going to allow current NFL players to try out and be on the Olympic NFL, I mean, the Olympic flag football teams for their respective countries. Mm-hmm. Here's the rest of the progression. Preseason games, it'll start with one preseason game will be flag football. We'll try that as a pilot. Then all preseason games. Then one or two regular season games will be flag. Eventually, what will happen is all NFL will be flag football except for the playoffs. And only in the playoffs will they be tackling each other. That's where we're headed. Just making the call right now. 25 years from 2017 is 2042. We'll still be on the air. So I'll come around and get my congratulations when that happens.
I would play it tomorrow if it was available as a co-ed league like the baseball.
That's one of the attractions of flag football. In my opinion, is that it's more inclusive. Per one of the missions, I love what you said about Boys and Girls Club. It's inclusive. It's a big tip, right? Why would you have anything else? Like, what is the alternative? So for flag football, for me, you don't have to be in the weight room all the time. You don't have to weigh 300 pounds. Flag football is about agility and athleticism. And you don't have to worry about adding all this weight and muscle because you're taking these hits.
Maybe that could be a Boys and Girls fundraiser. You could do like an adult league because if we do in a league through even the city, we have to pay. Mm-hmm. So us adults can pay and help fund for Boys and Girls Club by bringing us back to our youthful selves.
What position do you play, Crystal?
I have no idea. I've never done it before. I just want to do it.
Yeah, I think through the Parks and Rec, that'd be a great idea. And then we can talk about a fundraiser. That'd be awesome.
5 minutes? What? Okay, wow.
I won't comment on your flag football. I don't want to argue with the host. That'd be rude.
Well, you disagree on the flag football in the NFL?
Well, no comment.
Okay. That's what everybody says. And yet, when I said this in 2017, it was like, oh, my God, no way. And look how far it's come already. It's an Olympic sport. NFL players are being allowed to play.
Yeah, they do it in the Pro Bowl weekend. They also play flag football as well. And they're trying to, use it as an avenue to get kids playing football.
Yeah.
It's some form. And then, if they want to play tackle, they can play tackle.
Well, the inclusivity of flag football. I happen to coach flag football at Cunha, and one of the things I love is that every year we have females on the roster, and we play teams with females, and the best flag football player that I've ever seen in all the years coaching at Cunha was a female player at Ravenswood who just was dominant.
It's a great player. Thing for the kids to do.
Frank's giving me a look. I missed the ringing of the phone. We've got another caller. Who we got on the phone this morning?
Hey, good morning. This is Don Novarina with the Half Moon Bay High School Grad Night.
Yes, Dawn, tell us about grad night. What's up with that?
What's up with that is we're looking for volunteers. And you folks were so great to have us on earlier this year. And by the way, those 10 scholarships that Cameron pledged have all been filled with kids who wouldn't otherwise go.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic. Okay, so, Dawn, where can people go to sign up? I actually was just on your site yesterday looking through your list of available positions for the night. Where can people go to sign up?
They can go right to the website at hmbhsgradnight.com. And there is a link right on that homepage that says the number of positions that we have open still, and a link to click through and look at what's there.
Okay, listeners, we had Dawn on the show. What was it? January, I think it was. We had Dawn and Kate Shea on the show talking about grad night. This is really an important event for Coastside, for our kids, for seniors to have some fun, safe place to go. It's really a community event. You want to be involved with this. Even if you don't have a kid that's a senior, even if you don't have a kid at the high school, get involved. Go to the website that Dawn just mentioned. Let's do this. It's a fun night. It'll be a fun night. Dawn, anything else?
Thank you so much for putting that plug in, Ruben. We really appreciate it. It is the important night for these kids. They're going to the next tranche of their life, and we want to keep them safe and sober and having a lot of fun. So, yes, please, it's a community thing. We need everybody's help.
All right, Dawn, thank you so much. Good luck on that, and it's going to be a great night.
Thanks, Ruben. Thanks,
Crystalline. Okay, thanks, Dawn. Okay. So Frank's giving me the fingers, which means we have like 2 minutes left. And we literally have like 30 index cards here. So I'm trying to figure out what would be some great things to ask you. Okay, random one just off the top here. To get to know you, right? Okay, people know the Boys and Girls Club, but let's hear about Mark. Mark, what are a couple things that are on your bucket list for life at this point in life? What are a couple things you want to do?
Me personally?
Yes.
On my bucket list? I have one minute to go over.
I don't know if that was 1 minute or Frank's just mad about the shorts comment.
My focus is to just be a great community member and great husband and father. And if I take any, personal jumps, it'd probably be writing a book at some point about youth development and how we can optimally raise our children, especially in the adolescent years, how to build really healthy, positive men and super confident young women and people all across the spectrum. That's probably one bucket list item.
Hey, you know what would be a great job for you? Executive director of the Boys and Girls Club.
That sounds perfect.
You already got this. Okay. One last question while Frank's giving me the helicopter. What's the number one thing that you think that the Coastside needs right now, whether that's infrastructure, recreation? What education, business, economy? What's something? You're a Coastside resident. You've been here for at least 10 years, although you don't get your Coastside resident chit until you've been here for 20 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, it's a thing. But what does the Coastside need? What's the biggest thing that they need?
Well, one thing that's super special about the community of the Coastside is that we can support one another. And we have a variety of different socioeconomic levels and also different professional paths. And cultivating that as the demographics of the coast change, as different people move here, that we keep what's true about the essence of the coast, that it's a community-based place where we support different socioeconomic realms and we support our public education system in a big way.
Nice. Okay. Mark Newton, new executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. Mark, we're going to have you back
multiple times going forward. This was just a superficial entry level conversation.
This has been fun, and I learned that Frank has got some Bob Newhart in him, so you can have me back any time.
He does, but this is the good side of Frank. Don't make Frank
mad. I really appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you, Crystal.
Thanks for coming in, Mark. Appreciate that. Crystalline, enjoy the goats. Oh my goodness, that's just going to be so much fun. Goats at Hometown Mercantile.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Don't miss the goats. Also, the open house at Pacific Coast TV tomorrow as well. Have a great week, Coastsiders. We'll be back next week on Coastal Windage.
The talk.
Finish it, Crystalline.
On the coast.